All right, all right. We want to welcome you. My name is Pastor B. Wallace, and you are tuned in to Simplify Complexity, your relationship podcast. I am really excited that you would join us today, that you would be here. We have a wonderful topic for you, and we're actually going to be talking about passion. We're going to be talking about romance, and specifically, how do you keep the fire alive in your relationship? And I have a wonderful power godly couple here that I respect tremendously. We have Pastors Kelvin and Laquetta Simmons with us. Say hello, please.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
excited
to have you here, right?
Yeah.
But before we get to that, first, I want to thank T. West and Dre, who left comments from some of our past episodes. We are so grateful when you go to the website and you share your comments, you share your views, and please don't hesitate. Go to simplifycomplexity.org. There you can leave comments, you can write reviews, you know, whatever God puts on your heart. Also, on the website, you can go to our contact page. I'm in the process of scheduling my 2019 Chasing Happily Ever After book tour. And so you can go there if you are interested in me coming to your city, to your town, to your church. Please go to that contact page and contact me, and I will get back with you as soon as possible.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's also available on Amazon. So please go there. So with that said, how are you both doing?
We're doing well. Doing well. It's an exciting time in the ministry, exciting time. But I just had a question. I know you're asking questions, but you...
It is okay.
You were talking about passion today, and you came to us. You said you have respect for us, and I appreciate that. But you know, we've been married. I'm going somewhere with this.
I got you.
We've been married going on 26 years. Why would you come to somebody who's married 26 years for that question when it is said that it usually fizzle out by then?
Well, because in order for you to get 26 years, you have to be doing something right. You have to be doing something to keep that passion. And I've known you guys long enough to where I've seen your love, I've seen your excitement for one another. And so I want to have you two here. And specifically, because I do want to share with our listeners about KISS. And you guys have been consistent when it comes to couples ministry, when it comes to relationship ministry at Emmanuel Praise Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga. And so that's why I came to you guys. I feel like people would be blessed by the knowledge and what you guys have experienced personally, not only through ministry, but personally. So tell people a little about KISS. What moved you to take that passion on? Because I've seen ministries, I've seen churches where they'll have a couples ministry, but it fizzles or it's in and out. But you two have been consistent when it comes to your KISS ministry.
And we understand that that's our call.
Okay.
Is to keep families together. And because there's passion in our relationship, we're passionate about other couples experiencing that passion. And we understand that there's going to be highs and lows, so we don't give up in the lows. So we're going to do KISS if there's 100 couples or two.
Yep.
And we've done that. So we don't get discouraged. We understand that it's a need, and we model our ministry after what we tell people to do, is ride or die. If you say I do, then you're going to continue it till the day you die, and that's what we have committed to KISS. So we model that. No matter what, we're going to meet whoever shows up to make sure that they have a healthy, happy marriage.
KISS stands for keeping it sacred and simple.
Okay, all right.
And so we that's what we teach, because I asked that question earlier, you know, I used the word myth, because people, there's so much misinformation about passion and marriage, and people have been going on what they learned in the streets, what their big brother told them, what their girl told them back when they pledged in their sorority, and all
yeah,
of that is
right.
Misinformation. And so they think that after a while you got to do something spectacular.
Yeah, yep.
We say you just got to do something intentional.
See, that's a nugget right there. So if you're listening, you're going to be really blessed by all these nuggets, and because they have a wealth of knowledge. So with that, let's go with some of those myths, and let's go with some of the mistakes. What do you feel like are some of the mistakes people make in the area of romance?
One, they say it's hard. You got to stop saying that anything in your marriage is hard. So you got to make up your mind and be in agreement that you want it. We make assumptions about how it looks for one person, how it looks for the other. But if you're in agreement that you want romance in your marriage, that's the first step.
Okay, all right.
But they got to make the agreement at the beginning. You never get into a contract or get into a contract, I should say, with a car dealer. You go get the car, you drive the car around, then come back and you sign the agreement.
Right.
No, you sign. So in your marriage, as far as passion is concerned, as far as anything concerned, you make an agreement. Therefore, you always have something to go back on and say, this is what we say we were going to do.
Right. I like that. And I'm glad you mentioned the car, because I love using the car analogy when it comes to marriages and to relationships, because you can have this nice new shiny car, but if you don't take time to maintenance that car, if you don't take time and energy to keep the upkeep of that car, you know, up, then what's going to happen? It's going to break down. You're going to have problems. And so that's definitely something I've seen is one of the mistakes is we stop doing, or relationships stop doing what they did originally to keep the passion. And so, you know, he took her out and she talked on the phone they did all these, you know, sweet things to one another. And then when they get married over time, it's like, well, that fizzles.
Right. It's because people meet their representatives.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
No, I was just getting ready to say that.
Because you guys are one mind.
Right. So you presented as representative. So the person really doesn't know what you really need. They're just trying to impress you. So when you decide to have some real conversations, that's when you can figure out how to tap that part of your spouse. We teach couples, the moment you get married, that your needs are no longer your responsibility. They're not.
Okay,
and the moment you start worrying about your needs, you need to start taking care of your spouse's needs.
Right.
And if you focus on taking care of their need and they focus on taking care of yours, it's not necessary to get overwhelmed and preoccupied with your own.
Therefore, somebody going to be asking a question. A way that we keep fire and passion is that I don't worry about my needs being met. If I'm sowing seeds of passion into my wife, then I'm going to reap a harvest of passion coming out of her.
Okay.
And so if I'm starving,
okay,
it's not for me to be in the corner saying, hey, baby, you're not taking care of me. It's for me to continue to add to her so that she will be overwhelmingly with harvests of passion just waiting for me.
Okay, now I want you to break that down a little bit more, because you said some terms that, you know, are spiritual terms. I want you to kind of break that down just a little bit more as far as someone who might not understand the depth of some of those terms.
We understand karma.
Okay, all right.
What goes around comes around.
Okay, now we know that, you know, yeah, karma, but we're just trying to give some terms,
right,
that people understand.
Right. We understand investing.
Okay.
Right. If you invest and you continue to invest, your return is going to be great. Right. And so I'm not saying my wife is an investment, but she is. Right.
Yeah.
And so when I give and pour into her, when I show her, when I let her know that she's still fine.
Yeah.
Let her know that she still does it for me. Let her know that she's the only one that does it for me. Let her know that she's beautiful physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And fellas, when I do that prior to the weekend,
okay,
then the weekend will be blessed. The weekend will be plentiful. If I do that on Monday, letting her know, helping her out, talking to her on Tuesday, encouraging her on Wednesday, by the time Friday comes, and it's not necessarily on Friday, but by the time the weekend comes, then she is very, very generous with the love.
All right. Now, do you have any thoughts on that, LaQuetta?
Yeah, I think that being able to open yourself up to receive romance is important. So when your husband is, or your partner is, preparing the atmosphere, you have to be willing to be molded and shaped into that atmosphere.
Yeah.
And you want to be able to let them know that you like it and respond back. The key to romance is that one partner may be better at it than the other, and that's okay.
Okay.
As long as the romance happens, we get caught up as women many times because we say, oh, he's not romantic. I said, but if you are, you set the tone in the atmosphere. As long as he's willing to play along, that's all that matters.
Right.
But if you get in this power struggle about, well, he doesn't set the date, but I'm like, but if you do, does he go? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you set the trip, does he participate?
Come on.
Then I tell him, don't get caught up in, I want him to do it.
Yeah.
As long as he is in the midst of it and he receives your romantic gifts, that's all that matters.
Well, you know, I think part of that is because we have a concept from Hollywood. And this Hollywood concept is, you know, everything is just happens. It's magical and you know, love at first sight. And so we take this concept of movies and Disney and the things that we've seen and we look for that to play out in our lives when that's not reality. That's a script. That's something that they wrote and they had to act to do. And when you're in a relationship, there's not acting. It's doing in real life situations and real challenges. And so, you know, talk about maybe just where you're coming from work or maybe you've had a hard day or maybe you're really upset with him or you're really upset with her and you're challenged. And so how would you deal with the challenges of life and at the same time keep each other a priority and keep that passion, that fire alive?
Yeah, you have to determine that it's really about the two of you. And you cannot give the world permission to control your relationship. And that is a conscious decision.
Yeah.
To say that come hell and high water, that regardless of what the situation is around us, it's still about us.
Yeah.
And you have to be willing to push past your feelings. We often get controlled about how we feel. And there's sometimes you have to do something. You have to treat your spouse better than how you feel.
I want to stick there because that's I think that's so deep because I do think we get caught up so deep in our feelings.
Oh my.
And
as my wife was speaking, one of the things that people have to get, no matter what situation you're in, no matter how you feel,
okay. And
no matter how you are, and no matter when you come home and your wife may be in a bad mood or you may be in a bad mood, they still can't make you act the way you act because your response is your responsibility.
Come on.
And so when I have a bad day, my response is still my responsibility to her. Hmm. And so I have to be intentional about it. I have to know that I gotta be loving. And so what help us with that is we always understand it's always spiritual, never personal.
Come on.
And so when if she says something and I disagree with her or make my face crinkle up.
Oh, you make a face. Okay.
Yeah,
you got the face going on.
Right. It's still not her fault. It's my response to what she said. And we teach couples that because when they don't take responsibility for their response, then they get wrapped up in their feelings. And a simple conversation goes on for weeks. And when a conversation like that goes on for weeks, that means that the passion is out of the relationship for as long as that conversation goes on.
Right. That's good. And one of the key things I keep hearing, which is so important, which is, you know, being intentional. And I find that interesting because I still want to go into the myths that we kind of started off talking about and this Hollywood idea of romance. And I feel like we don't think of romance as work. We don't think of romance as something that you have to be intentional. If it's romance and if it's romantic, it should just be and it should just poof, it should just happen. But I think that's a way that the enemy works in relationships is that's not the case. You know, love and romance is something you're intentionally romantic because you understand that that's what the relationship needs, even when you don't feel like being romantic. And speak on that. Do you always feel like being romantic? And so let's say your husband comes in and you've had a full day, your mind is someplace else, and all of a sudden now he's trying to be romantic, and you are not romantic at this moment. You don't feel like it. What do you do?
Yeah.
You had those moments?
Sometimes. When I am in my zone, if I'm writing a grant or a proposal or doing a program for the church, and he comes in and I'm on my mental road and he might touch my hand.
All right.
I have to make a decision.
Okay.
And it's conscious. You have to say, LaQuetta, he needs your attention now. You can set this deadline aside. So I literally make a conscious decision because I love him. Not because any other reason, to be honest. It's the love that wakens me from my own space. And we have to give love that permission to do that. We put a lot of constraints on what it means to love somebody. Hmm. We constrain if I like them today or I don't. If I'm tired, if I'm PMSing, right. If the kids, we put so many constraints on love. And once we decide to set it free, then we can allow it to move in us past all of what life brings to us.
Yeah.
And it's intimacy that keeps people married forever. That's it's not good. Necessary love. Yeah. And intimacy isn't sex. It's being willing to manage through adversity.
You just made somebody fall out the
chair.
Yeah,
come on.
It's not sex.
Let me start the car real quick. Yeah.
They're like, Pastor B, you got the wrong focus. Because I need my intimacy. And when I say I need my intimacy, I need my sex.
Yeah.
Right. We can come back and talk about sex.
We can go back to that one.
A whole nother show.
Yes.
Because the woman comes first, no matter what.
Well, so what do you do? I mean, you know, what happens when you're just someplace else? And because the interesting thing about the difference of us as people, and so oftentimes, not all the time, but oftentimes, man, we're more visual, whereas, you know, women, they're more into feelings. And so what might be romantic for one is not necessarily romantic for the other. And so what do you do there? What do you tell people when, you know, you're looking for more physical and you know that her need and what she's looking for when it comes to romance is more of the feeling and the flowers. And you're like, baby, I just want us to spend time or have sex, whatever it might be. What do you do?
You know what? I'm going to answer that question. Hold on. We're going to back into it because I want my wife and I just have this conversation. All right, here's one of the myths and how we set ourselves up.
Okay, good. Let's do it.
We set ourselves up because we talked about we meet our representatives. Okay? So when we meet our representatives, the wife is under this preconceived thought, and so is the man.
Okay.
Okay? My wife teaches that when couples come together, the lady, the woman, is under an MRS haze.
Okay, you have to break that down. Go
right,
ahead.
Right. So she gonna explain that, and I said, we are under this lust cloud.
Okay, all right.
Man, we're under this lust cloud, and so when we first meet, the MRS haze and the lust cloud will do anything to be
anything.
Together, right? And so she will, as much as she allow herself, will be physical. And we know dudes, this lust cloud, we'll do anything we can to we call it intimacy. That's just lust.
Mm-hmm. I got
we call it falling in love, but that's just experiencing lust.
Yeah.
And so now we have set a precedent on how it's going to be.
Come on, man, you're speaking to somebody right now.
Right.
I know you are.
But you fast forward, you get married, fast forward, you done had some children, and you're 15 years in.
Mm-hmm.
And the haze is gone. And the cloud is lifted.
I don't even think you need to go 15 years. You can go 2 years.
All right, I'm being generous. Yeah, I agree with you.
You're real generous. I'm just saying,
So then here I come rolling into the house, and I see my wife over there, and I've been thinking about sex all day.
All right.
And she's been at the computer, like she said, and I walk in, and the first thing I do is just grab her behind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the response that I'm looking for.
You used to.
Yes, that I would have gotten when she was under the MRS haze.
Yeah.
And so that's when I, as the man, have to use emotional intelligence, come in and see where she is. And there's been some times I was out of order. And she said, baby, could you just touch my shoulder first?
Mm-hmm.
Can you just? And the first few times I heard that, I said, sure.
Yeah.
And what I did is left the rooms. I won't touch you at all.
Yeah.
Because my ego.
Feeling got hurt.
I mean, my feelings.
Yeah.
But my response is my responsibility.
Yeah.
And so I had to come back later on and find out where she is, give her what she needs, and then it's blessings.
And you just mentioned two mistakes. Two mistakes are ego. We allow ego to get in the way. We allow pride to get in the way. And that definitely, you know, comes destruction. And the other mistake is a lack of communication. You know, the other thing I heard was it's hey, that's not really romantic for me. That's not doing it for me. But oftentimes we don't want to communicate that. And there's nothing wrong with communicating what stimulates you, things you like, things you don't like. That's good communication. So that way you have a healthy relationship. I wanted to mention that because I want to go back to this Hayes. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, break that down.
So I teach women that when we are nearing a possible coupling situation, that this MRS Hayes comes over us.
Okay.
Because we want to be married.
She's polite. When they see a dude, they think they want to marry.
Okay, got it.
And so because we are particularly... the older we get, the stronger the haze.
Okay.
Because we instinctively says it is time for us to get married.
My clock is going.
Right. And it is a natural, spiritual, emotional instinct that kicks in. So then we begin to give men attributes they don't have. So example is they tell you that they cheated on you, but you interpret it as him being an honest man. At least he told me. He was honest about it. But no, he's a cheater.
Right.
Or he goes to church every quarter, but he's a godly man. But no, he goes to church every 4 or 5 months.
So it's
not that that's bad that he does, but you can't give him the attribute that he doesn't have yet. But we do that. So we got to be around women that can keep us out of that haze. Now, sometimes the haze is good that God gives us that, because if we saw everything that a man was, from that perspective, we may not get married.
So I'm assuming, I don't know if you broke down the acronym. Is that Mary Right Now?
No, oh, no. Mrs.
Oh. See, I was thinking Mary Right Now syndrome, something like that.
Mrs. Hayes.
Mrs. Hayes. Oh,
you
want to
be
it.
Somebody, okay. Mrs. Okay. MRS.
See, that went over my head right there.
MR, like they say, right. Women used to go to college.
He missed that, but he got the lesson. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I told you that's the lesson. But you might want to take that one. That Mary Right Now syndrome. Come on. Come on. You can add that in there.
Mary Right Now.
I want to be Mary Right Now syndrome.
What we'll do at the end?
What do you mean Mrs. the N? I didn't hear N.
Yeah.
It was married
right now.
Oh, well, R for right now.
Syndrome. I was just thinking syndrome.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
That's a possibility. When I write the book, but to talk about, because that haze is real.
It is. Yeah.
And it is, because it's natural, it is hard for us to shake it, but we got to know that it's there.
Well, okay. So here's the thought. What is a healthy, godly view of romance and passion? Because I think we have our view, and we've talked about mistakes. So what is a healthy view? How should we see it?
Well, the words healthy and godly make it seem like it's something that we have to go in and create.
Okay.
No. Everything that God gave us as far as passion, as far as romance, as intimacy, intercourse, He gave it to us.
Say that one more time, because I feel like some people feel like God is approved, right?
Right.
He's not.
Go ahead.
Everything, intimacy, intercourse, romance, passion, God gave it to us.
Yeah.
He gave us, what's the number? For men, 8,000, I believe that's the number, nerve endings in the head of the penis.
Right.
So, and then he gave women probably 3 times as much.
Yeah. You're breaking it down right now. People need to hear this because there's this idea that, you know, you can't talk about this and God at the same time. It's like, no, God created sex.
No, he did.
He made it enjoyable.
He did.
So enjoy it in marriage.
Exactly. Because he said we had to procreate. He said, I want them to want to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make it feel good so they will do it.
Come on.
Right? And so we've been, God's children have been doing sex a long time, I think since creation, right? But what happens is we get this, you mentioned Hollywood and other influences that flipped it on us, right? So they took what he intended for us to have, and that is to just have a great time. And then they tried to
pervert it,
corner the market on what to do and what not to do, and then said, we're going to do ours, you all do yours. But they got it from us. They got it from us. He never told, he never said, don't make love to your wife. He never told us not to enjoy it.
Yes.
He didn't tell us not to have fun with it. He didn't.
Try new things.
He didn't say that.
Yeah.
He didn't say that.
What did he say, though? He just said, keep it within the confines of marriage.
Right.
You know, the marriage bed is undefiled. Yes.
And then he specified a couple of things that you can't do. But all those other things, have at it.
Yeah. And the things that he does, that God does tell us not to do, is for our protection. It's for our benefit. It's not to keep us from enjoying, you know, these pleasures.
Yeah. So. And the main one is the word adultery, because people get hurt. Yeah. So it's, I don't want you hurt.
Yeah.
So if you just keep it this way.
Yeah.
And so.
A healthy view. Going back to the healthy view.
Going to the healthy view. So go back to the word agreement.
Okay.
When you agree. Have an agreement that we are going to have a passionful love life.
I like that.
Right? I can ask, hey, what do you, no, we're 26 years of marriage, so there's been a lot of asking. and I could have asked, baby, I would like, and if she says she's in agreement, we're in. If she says we're not in agreement, well, I'll go to the next question.
Right, right. Keep it working on that goes back to communication.
Right. Yeah.
And what are your thoughts?
And as women, we must be very conscious of how we respond to the request. If we make a face or we say something, then our husband feels as though we are rejecting them and not the idea, the concept. Mm-hmm. And we have to realize where does the ill statement or the faces come from. Because if it's really about love, being your husband's girlfriend is a wonderful thing.
Come on, you can say that one more time.
Yeah. It is. And you make it a joyful experience when you're willing to hear each other's fantasies and to often act them out.
Yeah, I like it.
Act them out. It's all good. But we want to become and stay in this good girl state of pre-marriage. But once we get married, the good girl can grow up to this woman that is sexually free and is comfortable in her own skin.
And it's still good.
And it's still all
because
good.
God blessed it.
Yeah. God blessed it. But we got to own the mind games that we play on girls.
Yeah.
And be able to talk about, we talk about sex in a negative way because we don't want them to do it when they're not married, and then we get married, and then we still got those same things in our head. So we got to own that and change that.
Yeah. One of the greatest disappointments for men, ladies, is when it comes to sex, is I use this analogy. When you meet them, you cook dinner. You know, you're always cooking for them, and you'll sit there and you'll watch sports with him. You don't like sports. You don't like to cook.
Yeah, yeah.
But for these 9 months, you all in with it. Mm-hmm. And then you get married. You get mad when he's watching sports.
Right.
And you want to go out all the time.
Right.
That's the same
thing. You never want to cook.
Never want to cook. And so when at the beginning of the relationship and the beginning of the marriage, you all in with the sex.
Yeah.
All in with his request. Then there's something.
Yeah, I call it the okie doke. Like why you bait and switch? Don't do a bait and switch.
Yes. And ladies, I can hear you screaming now. Yeah, we do the same thing. We are all gentle and generous and loving and name calling, sweet baby, and all that. We come home on time and we're all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Got our beards all tight and things. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, our bellies is over our belt and our beard is not tight and we don't come home on time. We're
clothes
grumpy,
wrinkled.
Clothes wrinkled. I get all of that. And all of that, those things are factors.
Yeah.
And we just have to affirm the things that we like at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because if we tell each other, I like that, they're going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
But if you make it commonplace and you don't ever say, oh, you look good in that suit, or I really appreciate you opening the door, they stop doing it because they don't think it matters to you.
Mm-hmm.
But early on, if you praise it, it'll sustain it.
That's good. Well, I want to do this to end our time together is, what are some practical steps people can take to keep the fire alive in their relationship? What are some practical things that they can do? So right here, right now.
Plan it.
Okay, I think, let's plan.
Yeah, if you know Friday night is on a cracking, every Friday night is on a cracking, then you can get excited about it. Yeah. Sometimes Sunday, it could be Wednesday night, the kids are somewhere, but plan it.
Yeah.
And it does not necessarily take the romance out of it. It could be a competition, okay, this Friday is my night.
Yeah, yeah.
I get to plan, or it's my night to ask for whatever I want. And that brings some anticipation. It don't have to be one night, but at least one night. Right. you plan it.
Well, and I like that, and that's something that I encourage people to do, because it allows this agreement, because you've talked about that agreement. So they have their night, and their night is to whatever they want. And you need to be in a mindset. So if you're the husband and it's her night, you need to be in the mindset that I'm all in for what she has tonight. So if her night is we're going to go to ballet and you hate ballet, you're going to be there and you're going to be in tune with ballet. You're going to be smiling and happy because it's about her. It's about meeting her needs in that moment. And you're excited and it's reciprocated.
Absolutely.
We men have been trained by other men to make sure that we are the man in the bed. That means every time we have make love with our wives, we got to put it on her. Here's a point there for passion. Every so often, she doesn't mind a quickie. She doesn't mind a spontaneous lovemaking somewhere private, right? And when you know that you can just be intimate and enjoy one another and then go about your day, that make you want to come home.
All right.
So quickies are okay.
Right.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
So he's like, no, that's not what
no,
I heard.
I think it's an agreement thing.
Yes.
It's one of those things that are communication.
Yes.
I'm just interested. So what would you say about the quickie there, LaQuetta?
Because I know Friday's coming, so quickies are appetizers.
Okay. All right.
So you are.
I don't know why he had to look at you to get approval of what I just said.
I'm trying to get a woman's point of view.
Yeah.
That's all. I hear what you're saying.
Right.
The reason why I said it, because you want to get a woman's point of view, because we know we're supposed to please her each and every time.
Right.
Right.
Well.
And so go ahead and finish your point.
So, if they are rightly placed. Right before that Friday night or that Sunday evening or whatever it is, it just increases anticipation.
Yeah.
And again, I said it slightly, but we teach men that she comes first, period. And as long as she comes first, then everything else can happen. So if that's your mindset, that she's going to come first, quickie, 2 hour, 3 hour, it doesn't matter.
And here's another thing about it is that we are like pressure cookers. Mm. And every so often, that pressure got to get out of there.
Yeah.
Right? And a woman will tell you, a lady who knows her man will tell you, if he's walking around like a pressure cooker, he's not really paying attention to too much until he's...
Can't hear you.
Right. Yeah. You speak on it.
And so she's like, okay, Friday is happening whenever Friday's happening. Or you're looking at your schedule and Friday's not may not happen this week.
Right.
So knowing that it matters,
right? Well, and
is part of making it happen.
But it's also understanding that for them, that quickie in that moment is romantic to them, though it might not be as romantic to you. Because I've seen it both ways, where sometimes the wife or the woman is the more sexual active, or and sometimes it's the man. A lot of times they feel like it's always a man, but I've seen it the opposite way. And so with that, it's just understanding, I'm not really into the quickie, but in this moment, I know that's what he or she needs to keep that passion. And so therefore, I'm going to do it and be excited about it. And then there's an opportunity later to... be romantic in a different way.
Right. And I tell women, when women come to me and say, Pastor, my husband is in this bad mood.
Yeah.
He won't listen to what I'm asking him to do. I said, when's the last time you gave him some? I say that. When is the last time? And they'll tell me, too. I was like, that's the issue.
Yeah.
You need to go, because he can't hear you. You're asking him about a serious situation. All he can think of is his lack.
Yeah.
I say, give him some and then come back.
That's good. All right, so what are some other practical steps? Just other things that we can do to keep romance?
So plan it. Make sure that you realize that it matters.
Okay.
Change locations.
Okay.
They can be locations in your house.
Okay, all right.
Flirt with each other.
Oh, my God. You got to flirt.
You got to flirt. And you can flirt electronically.
Mm-hmm.
You have to flirt. There's something in a woman's head. She wants to know if she's still attractive to you.
Yeah.
Because there's people out there letting her know that she's attractive to them.
Yeah.
And so you keep letting her know, there's nothing for me. I send a text, you know, I'm thinking about you, I miss you.
Yeah.
Then every so often, this is what I want. You know, people are like, you do, hey. So flirting.
That's good.
And you have to go out of town. even if it's the next city over, every now and then you have to get away and change where you are, and you're able to walk into that romantic fantasy that you create for each other and know what that fantasy is. Yeah. If your husband really loves water and loves being by the ocean, then figure out how to get him there. Mm. If your wife loves the mountains, figure out how to get her there. Set the money aside for that one trip.
Yeah.
You need it.
I mean, one of the things I keep hearing, and which is so important, is you have to make it happen. If you're listening to this right now, you have to understand that there's no oops.
No.
You know, you have to make it happen, because with kids and with schedules, before you know it, you plan that Friday night, as you said, but then we'll allow things to encroach on that. And so the tip I have is, once you plan it and once you set that time, don't let anything come between that, because the enemy will bring some stuff up. Something's going to come up. And so you have to have the mindset that nothing is going to come up and deter us from the things, this time that we plan together.
Right. That's part of the keeping it sacred part of KISS, is that this is our sacred day. Yeah. No one encroaches on that. And you treat it like that.
Let me say this last one on this.
Okay.
It's going to mess somebody up. You have to stay spiritually connected.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have to
expound on that a little bit.
Because for my wife and I, we are spiritually connected. And so when we experience something spiritually, it's a huge aphrodisiac.
Okay. I like that.
You've already said we're pastors, so we might. So when we are in worship, she could be leading worship, she could be preaching, or I, and we experience the Spirit.
Yeah.
That is huge. And we look at each other and like, okay, when we get out of here,
yeah,
it's time for praise and worship. Yeah. Y'all can't see our hands.
You didn't see the hands, yeah. They did a high five and they did like a low five.
Yeah, a high five, and then it's praise and worship, right? Yeah. And that is huge. For people who are disconnected spiritually, they hit and miss.
Yeah.
But it's huge. We can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so I want to actually give a point about that, because I think especially those who are really involved in the life of the church and involved in ministry, to where they don't really spend time spiritually together in church anymore, because they're so active. And so one might be doing this in the ministry, another might be doing that in the ministry. And so now kind of that worship experience is kind of work, and it's separate. It's not together. They might even come to church separately, because one has to be here for this time and another one is doing this with the kids or with so-and-so. And so they don't spend that spiritual time together. So I think making that time is important. So take a Sunday off out of a month to where, you know, you're as a family, you're coming together, you're leaving together, you're keeping that spiritual connection. What is your midweek like? Are you a part of a KISS program? And so that would actually be a practical step. Get involved in a relationship small group right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Just get involved in a small group. If you're in the Rancho Cucamonga area, you can definitely come to the KISS program at Emmanuel Praise.
Every Friday at 7:30.
There you go. Just reach out. If your church doesn't have it, I'm not saying go leave your church. Go just call some other churches that have a couples ministry that you can be actively involved in.
Yeah, 50%. The people who participate in KISS are not members.
Yeah.
They're members of other churches.
But that speaks about you and the ministry, because the ministry is not about trying to grab members from other churches.
No.
It's about bringing health to relationships.
Absolutely.
So, all right, well, good stuff. I feel like we've given a lot of nuggets. I feel people are going to listen to this a couple times. And so any closing thoughts?
Just be determined to love each other forever. And let nothing stop that. Just know and let your spouse know that you're going to love him forever.
All right.
Know that you're not going to get out of your relationship alive.
It was never intended for us
to get out of a relationship alive. So since I'm going to be there forever,
yeah.
I'm going to make love forever.
That's good.
And you mentioned KISS. Keeping it sacred and simple is every first Friday at Emmanuel Praise Fellowship in Rancho Cucamonga.
What's the website? Give people the website.
EmmanuelPraiseFellowship.org.
Okay.
And they can see it on there. They can get our information. Starts at 7:30. We laugh. We have a great time. And every year we have a marriage retreat.
Okay.
And we go away.
That's that getaway you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We go away and we have a good time. And relationships not only are strengthened, but we have seen relationships restored. And once they were restored, a baby came behind it.
I'm a believer, man. If God can raise the dead, why can't he raise your dead marriage?
Absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you for having us.
I'm so glad you guys joined to be a guest. So thank you for that. So please, one of you lead, close us in prayer.
Father, we thank you. We thank you, God, for this time. And Lord, we right now, we pray for that relationship. Mm. The one where the woman is asking, what else can she do to get to be loved the way she desires? Mm. That relationship where the young man is saying, I've done all I can do, and I'm at my wit's end, and they're thinking about walking away.
Yes, Lord.
Father, right now we ask that you intercede. Intercede with your wisdom, intercede with your knowledge, but remind them who they were, what they were, and how they were when they met each other, and that the commitment, the agreement that they made is still in play. Mm-hmm. Let them know that it's always about them and not outsiders. So we ask that you protect them now.
Yes, sir.
Increase them, increase their minds, increase their spirits, and increase their wealth. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you again for coming and being a guest. We want to thank you for listening and tuning in. Again, go to the website, simplifiedcomplexity.org. Leave a review on iTunes. Until next time, God bless you and God keep you.
I'd rather be your people, I'd rather see where there's two or three, then there the Lord will be. Where the Lord is, then there you'll see me. If the Lord ain't going, then I'm not going. Let us be best minded with the mind of Christ. Let us love one another as you would love. I, you need me just as much as I need you.